The default, I have nothing else to talk about, so let's talk about the weather topic is, to Margaret's mind, a stunning daily phenomenon, overlooked and taken for granted. Margaret loves it all, hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, lightning storms, and the ultimate bonanza, an earthquake followed by a tsunami. This may seem sadistic, but even as she mourns any loss of life, she is intrigued by the science of it. Weather is a physical manifestation of the Earth's power. Margaret also likes that weather defies prediction. Meteorologists can get close, but there are no guarantees. The world, Margaret thinks, is full of surprises. Margaret's ex-husband, Kelly Quinn, has prostate cancer. He was diagnosed just before Christmas, which made for another muted maudlin holiday. Margaret was tempted to take a leave of absence from the network in order to manage Kelly's care, but Kelly's estranged wife, Mitzi, returned to the fold and is now very much in charge. After 20 years of barely concealed animosity, Margaret and Mitzi have come to a place of peace, bordering on friendship, and Margaret would like to keep it that way, so she's backed off. She gets updates every day or two from her daughter, Ava. Kelly's cancer is contained. It hasn't metastasized. He has been traveling back and forth to the Cape 5 days a week for his radiation treatments. Mitzi goes with him most days, although she's made no secret of the fact that she finds the radiation aggressive. She would prefer Kelly to treat his cancer holistically with herbs, kale smoothies, massage, energy work, and sleep. Margaret bites her tongue. One thing that Margaret knows will make both Kelly and Mitzi feel better is getting definitive news about their son, Bart, who has been missing in Afghanistan since December of 2014. Margaret checks her computer first thing each morning for briefs from the DOD. One soldier from Bart's platoon, William Burke, escaped to safety, but he remains at Walter Reed in Bethesda. He sustained life-threatening head trauma and, hence, the DOD has no new intelligence about where the rest of the troops are, or even if they're alive. But they might soon, Margaret guesses, assuming the kid makes it. The winter months are mild, a welcome change from the year before, and spring arrives right on time in the second half of March. It's not a false spring either, but a real, true spring, the kind portrayed in picture books, with bunny rabbits, budding trees, children on swing sets. Margaret's apartment overlooks Central Park, and by the 1st of April, the park is a lush green carpet accented by bursts of color, beds of tulips, daffodils, hyacinths, iris. Model yachts skim across Conservatory Pond. There are soaking rain showers at night, so that in the morning when Margaret steps out of her apartment building and into the waiting car sent by the service, the city looks shellacked and the air feels scrubbed clean. It's a good spring. Kelly will be fine, Margaret tells herself. Their son Patrick is set to be released from jail on the 1st of June. He already has a handful of investors, and he plans to open his own boutique investment firm. How he managed this from inside the lockup, Margaret isn't sure. She made him promise her that, from here on out, everything he does will be legal. Margaret's granddaughter, Genevieve, is growing and changing each day. She can now sit up, and technology is so advanced that when Margaret and Kevin connect on FaceTime, Margaret can wave and coo and watch Genevieve laugh. Kevin and Isabel are busy with the inn, which, thanks to the clement weather, has been filled to capacity since the middle of March. But what is really painting Margaret's world pink is that she's in love. Dr. Drake Carroll has changed from a sometime lover to her constant companion, best friend, and fiancé. They'd both vowed to make time for the relationship to grow.